This is the Friday, December 14, 2018 version of the market analysis segment from Market to Market. The news that China is buying soybeans from the U.S. for the first time in months failed to inspire the commodity markets. According to Reuters, the White House has delayed additional market facilitation payments because it anticipates new sales to China. For the week, March wheat was flat and the nearby corn contract fought a seesaw battle to finish nearly even. Orders from China's two major state-owned companies have yet to put a fire under the soybean market as the January contract fell 16 cents. The January meal contract dropped $3.90 per ton. March cotton fell 63 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, January Class 3 milk futures gained a quarter. The livestock market remains mixed. February cattle added 87 cents. January feeders put on 320. And the February lean hogs tumbled 338. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index improved 89 ticks. January crude oil lost $1.41 per barrel. COMEX gold slid 11.20 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index shrank more than 9 points to finish at 406 even. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts. That's Don Rose. Welcome back, Don.
Great to be back. Thank you, Paul.
All right, Don. So we know there was a government report this week. We know there was some news, just a tiny little bit, with soybeans in China. We'll get to that in a minute. There's some ink, though, out there that says wheat is the leader in this market. Why would anybody be saying that right now?
Well, when you look at the wheat market, first of all, it's down at a level that is very competitive here in the U.S. And if you look at the problems we had around the world, Europe had a dry drought. Australia had a dry drought. Argentina, the wheat crop, 60% harvested, but there's poor quality, too much rain. Paris wheat made an 8-week high this week, and now Russia's offering wheat about 10 cents higher than their last offer. So our export pace did go down on the government report, the last report, but it feels like this market is just waiting for Russia to quit selling wheat in the world market. That's the big problem.
Right. Is that anticipated to happen anytime soon?
Well, they're going to have a meeting next week with the government, with the exporters, and they have a monthly meeting. But they're trying to decide, and I think that's going to be a question mark next week, do they think they're exporting wheat too aggressively, that they're going to slow or restrict the exports? And that's been on the radar, but we'll see if something happens. But there's definitely a bid underneath the wheat market, and that's helping the corn market also.
Am I selling off what I have left in the bin?
Well, look at the wheat. March wheat's been in a trading range from 510 to about 550. Just hasn't been able to get out of that area. And so when you look at it, it's a market that don't sell breaks, don't buy rallies. And so when you get closer to that 540, 550 area in March, if you have to have some catch-up sales, that's probably the opportunity, Paul.
Am I going to dribble anything out new crop then? Or am I going to keep that same philosophy that you just laid out?
Yeah, the new crop wheat is very much like the old crop wheat. We're caught kind of in this range, okay. You know, 520, 560 on the upside. So when you get close to that 550, 560, I think you have to look at that as an opportunity. And certainly if we would get a breakout to the upside, which it feels like we're trying to do, you know, when you get closer to that 580 to 6, those are catch-up sales.
Old school thought tells you that corn follows wheat. Resisted, though, a little bit this week and kind of did its own thing. Why?
Well, the corn market, if you really look at it, it's one that has the pretty good fundamentals. And I think when you look forward to, I think the bullish story under the corn market, under the soybean market, is the January report, because it was a late harvest. The yields at the end of the harvest were really not that great. And so I think when you look forward to the January report, not that far away, that yields could go down a couple bushels on corn, and it wouldn't be surprising even if soybeans went down a bushel. So not a game changer on beans. But on corn, that could get your balance table down closer to that 1.65 billion bushels. So then the fight is on for next year's crop and the weather.
Are you buying into this story that China is interested in U.S. corn? Do you think that's happening right now?
Well, I think it's a good question, but I think it would be highly unlikely that they're in for big amounts. I think it would be more token amounts. I know there's been reports that they're going to be in for 10 to 12 million metric tons. You know, that's 400 million bushels. I mean, we only export 2.4 billion a year. I would say that it's more of a logistical situation where they're shipping corn from us off the Pacific Northwest to meet some of their southern regions because it's more expensive to bring it from the north down. I would say that's the better bet. But, you know, underneath the market, there's a buying interest around the world, Paul. That's a good sign.
And, you know, we still have corn in the field. You talk about it with the old crop that, we might adjust some of that end number down there. It's still sitting out there waiting. But is it enough? Do you think it's only on dropping that yield number of what's left in the field? Or was maybe this crop a little more hurt with weather than we realized during 2018?
Well, the yields, particularly when you get into the northern Corn Belt, you get into northern Iowa, into southern Minnesota, there's a number of areas that just had crops that were substantially under a year ago. It's hard to make up yield losses like that. So I think the yield probably is going to go down. The real trick of the market, though, Paul, is when March corn gets up around 390, it's just tough resistance. You get July corn up around 4405, tough resistance, and you even have new crop corn when it gets between 405 and 410, that's kind of stalls us. But then when you pull back to the downside, you get down around 390 on new crop corn. You get down around 375, 370 on March corn. There's good buying. There's a 378 gap on March corn. So I think what I'm really saying is we're caught in this big, broad trading range. We're at the top now, and producer selling picks up, beats us to the downside, end user picks up, and world buying picks up.
All right. So if China's maybe not buying corn, they say they're buying soybeans. The proof is in the pudding, whatever phrase you want to use. Until they take shipment and delivery, this might just be news, and it's not enough to move the market. Are we reading too much into this and looking for hope where hope is not?
Well, if you look at this last week, you had a classic situation. We're the futures market. It was a buy the rumor, sell the fact.
Right.
We had an announcement on a smaller than the trade thought, 1.1 million metric tons of soybeans, and the trade sold into it because they're looking for a bigger number, and it was a fact. But when you have a 955 million carryout, if you stop and think about it, we're past our peak export time, our advantage. South America is going to start harvesting soybeans the end of the December into early January. It's going to be hard to change that balance table, a great deal. Even if you increase exports on the balance table 150 million, you're still at 800 million carryout. It's just hard to put lipstick on that pig, Paul. It's just it's a big number, and we've got actually pretty good prices. We've rallied a dollar off the bottom on soybeans.
Well, that's good, and you shouldn't have even looking at Twitter again, because you saw that Adam in Wisconsin was writing and asking, why would China buy beans from the U.S. contra-seasonally when South America looks to have a massive crop? That's his question he sent to us.
Well, we've got a lot of competition. Why would they? I think because they've been buying very aggressively from South America already. So I think it's more of a token situation, and I think he's right. I think it's going to be all down to the price, and you take the tariffs off. If we can compete, I think we'll get the sale, and if we can't, we won't. And that's going to be the real issue.
Real quick, we hit a four-month high. We had the ninth biggest one-day sale of beans in a while. Look, new crop, deferred. What do you see long term?
Okay, when you look at the new crop, acres could be down 3 to 4 million, but that's not going to be enough. But look at the price that you have for an advantage. This last week, we got January 20 beans, up close to $9.75. Not a bad price. If you put a carry on the market, a normal carry of 50 cents, you're talking about July 20 soybeans. Up around 10:30. That's a number you can live with.
That's a serious number.
Well, last year in a bull market, when we had a drought and weather problems, we could only get to 10:60 on July beans. So there's opportunities, but I think you have to kind of merchandise your way out of these markets this way.
Give your advisor a call or pick up an advisor and try to work through this a little bit.
Yeah, there's some opportunities, and the same thing Paul, in corn. I mean, your new crop corn is 405. You put a carry on that, you're out to about 431, 432 on July 20 corn. So try to use those to your advantage.
Well, you've been feeding some of that corn to those big animals, the cattle market. I mean, large December kills, very strong demand in the live cattle market. What's moving that besides those two things?
Well, I tell you, you know, the surprising thing is two things. One, the consumer, the domestic demand is just unbelievably strong. Talk about the consumer confidence at an 18-year high. I think that's, you know, part of what's going on. The Packers just been amazing. This week we finally had the Packer margins move down to $100 a head profit. But you remember just a few months ago he was making $250 to $300 a head. So, you know, the cattle market, when you look at it, it looks like it's, you know, there's demand under it, but we're pretty mature. We dialed in an awful lot of bull news into the cattle market. We did have a key reversal on April cattle this week, which often signals intermediate high. There's nothing real bearish on the cattle, but it's like a lot of these commodities. You're getting close to the top end of the range, and if you break too far, the demand picks up. So we still have good demand underneath the market.
So do you think the leverage now, you said it was at the Packer, do you think the feeder has the leverage right now, the feeder cattle market?
No, I think the Packer's still in control. I think the numbers are there. You know, stop a look at the production. Next year we're going to have, you know, we had for prices this year. Next year we're going to have overall production up another 3.1%. You know, there's just big numbers coming at us. You have to be really careful on the demand side. If the economy starts to slip a little bit, that's the risk. So, you know, when you're up at the top end of these ranges, according to what the government says, risk management makes a little bit of sense.
All right. Well, you're trying to figure out if that pencils out. And so is the hog farmer right now. Another drop this week. Is this all because, oh, we've contained the fever? Or what's moving this market?
Well, you're right. I mean, it's been all about we've got monster supplies in the U.S. There's no doubt. We're going to have 5.3% more pork this year than last year in production. Government saying our exports are going to be up 8%. So we'll see. It's all about the demand. And it's really the battle. Huge supplies versus China. Hopefully they're going to be a big buyer. They have bought 3 weeks in a row, Paul, so that's a good sign.
Well, and I was just going to say, Don, there's really been no news about China and hogs, and that's something we'll get into. I don't know if I'll ask you if the Chinese like bacon, but we'll find out in the Plus. We'll also talk cotton and other things. Don Rose, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Paul.
That will wrap up our broadcast portion of the television program Market to Market. And guess what? We're going to keep this conversation going on Market Plus. We'll answer all of your questions that you have submitted to us. And you can find it on our website. In case you haven't noticed, that's new, markettomarket.org. That's easy, markettomarket.org. You know, our Facebook page has been full of additional material as part of our Justice in Agriculture series. Like us today to be in the know. Join us again next week when we'll explore why one farmer spent a year in prison. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Paul Yeager. Have a great week.